This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour number two of the Blitz starts now. Live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, it's Chance Collins, Charlie Collier, and GP Thruvy for another hour. We're up at fanrunradio.com. You can click that live link at the top, powered by our friends at MyBookie. We also got the Periscope up and running, second hour smiles. That's at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter and Facebook. We have the free Fanrun Radio app. Download that in app stores today. And as always, up at FM 105.7 AM 1340. Second hour, time to talk a little Tennessee basketball. The basketball team got us a nice victory, nice victory over the weekend against LSU. And it was the Juroš Plavšić return. The coming out party continues. And there are reports that Juroš will start again tonight against Florida in Thompson Bowling Arena.
As he should.
And Assembly Center. Yeah, even John Fulkerson, his teammate, who, you know, we expect a lot of him this year. He's kind of regressed somewhat after his COVID diagnosis. He said it needed to be done with him coming off the bench in his new role. He said, the way I look at it, I told my teammates to go as hard as they can so they can make the opponents go as hard as they can so they can get tired. He can come in there and kind of be a spark. Then I come in and I'm fresh and they're tired. When I come in, I'm ready to go with energy. Hopefully the other team is a little bit winded from the first group. Fulkerson has spent the last two games coming off the bench, replaced by the 7-footer Juroš Plavšić, who's averaging 7.3 points and 5.4 rebounds in SEC play. He's had a big last couple of games, and he's really working hard, and he's earned it, as Rick Barnes has said. Juroš has gone in and has brought a lot of energy to it. We are hoping that John will continue to do that as well, coming off the bench, is what Rick Barnes had to say. So, guys, how you feeling going into this game? This one should be a win for the Vols. Vols come in as favorites. What is the line? Anybody know the line?
I checked DraftKings yesterday. It was at 10, but I think FanDuel has them at 9.5.
Yeah, it's currently at 9.5. People thought it would open at about 7.5, so maybe that's too high of a spread. But at the same time, Tennessee has a history of covering the spread against Florida at home.
And you're still undefeated in the state of Tennessee, still undefeated at home as it stands right now. So that gives fans a lot of, you know, usually a lot of comfort going into this game. And Florida is not some of the Florida teams of years past. I would say that they are down.
Yeah, and I mean, especially with Colin Castleton injured, and he is not expected to play tonight. Florida is about 10 or 11 points worse without him this year statistically than they are with him. They shoot an exceptionally lower percentage, but yeah, they are 10 to 11 points worse per 100 possessions when Castleton's not playing. The shot selection is also substantially worse. Florida's kind of reeling right now too. They just got blown out in the second half against Ole Miss, despite, you know, they finally started making some shots for a point in time in that second half, and Ole Miss went on like a 10-minute stretch where they shot 90%. Florida's defense has been struggling, and Tennessee has not lost at home against Florida since 2013-2014. And that one loss in 2013-2014 was the only one since 2010. You know, Tennessee absolutely should win this game. From a matchups perspective, it is also a pretty solid matchup. And Florida's not good, man. They've lost to Maryland. They've lost to Ole Miss. They've lost to Texas Southern at home by a good amount. And they should be a little bit tired, too, this being their third game since Saturday.
Yeah, Ole Miss beat them by 16 on Monday. So, like you said, they're definitely reeling. Not a very great basketball team. Tennessee, yeah, like you said, 9.5-point favorite, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook. And they shouldn't have much trouble with them. The one thing that I guess scares me and scares a lot of the other fans out there, and probably you guys too, sometimes Tennessee playing down to their opponent.
The one thing you will see from Florida is that with Colin Castleton out, they no longer really even try to attack the rim when he's off the floor. They're in the low 300s of shots at the rim, percentage of shots at the rim, whereas they were in the top 30 with him on the floor. So they will just play a lot of five out. You know, they might try to drive on you some, and I don't know what that does with Euros either. You know, how he fits into this game if they are just giving you a lot of four out, five out. But they're going to just shoot a lot of threes. And I guess, you know, that does scare you a little bit because anybody can get hot from three on any given night. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, UMKC or Baylor. If you're shooting the ball well, you have a good chance to win a basketball game. So, you know, that maybe makes you a little bit nervous, but they are just not a good shooting team at all. You know, they don't really do a good job getting open looks at three. They don't make threes. Ideally, you win this game by, you know, 15-plus.
Yeah, on paper, that's what we're thinking. What do you expect from Euros again? You expect this to continue? It seems like he's gotten the confidence now. We keep talking about Rick Barnes giving him a lot of praise. He's earned it. We as fans now, I mean, this is what we wanted. You know, a seven-footer is going to give us a little, you know, a guy that's got a little swagger to him, not afraid of the competition. He goes in there, you know, full force, head down. He goes to work. You guys think that can continue tonight versus Florida?
Yeah, I absolutely do.
Are we full team Euros now?
Yeah, I'm fully on the Euros bandwagon.
Gotcha, okay.
I think he's turned into a formidable big man in this conference. Still raw in some areas, needs to work on developing a few more post moves. But his ability to go after the ball, get those rebounds when they're needed, and then even at times we've seen him be able to hit clutch free throws when the teams need it too, which you don't always get on this team. We've seen how bad they've been at free throw shooting this season. So yeah, I'm fully in on Uroš Plavšić. I think he's taken that starting role, and every week when it's announced that he's a starter, I don't even think it should be a surprise anymore. I think it should just be expected.
No, I got a lot of faith in the guy too. It seems like that, I don't know if he is the guy. And I heard Russell say best, Euros may not be the guy that all the fans wanted, but he's certainly the guy that Tennessee needs right now. And he is coming alive. Over-under set at 131 tonight. In the last six out of seven games, Tennessee has won against Florida. The score, no one has reached a score of 80. I'm looking here at the notes on utsports.com. Six of the last seven wins. Over those seven games, neither team has reached 80 points. Well, so
I will be stunned if Florida is able to reach 80 points tonight.
Yeah. So little brother Mike White comes to town, gets big brother Danny.
He needs Dr. to get Danny. Some wins this season so he can keep his job.
Somebody want him to stay there. Definitely want him to
it's
stay there.
It's like when
there.
Everybody used to wear those Keep Butch Jones shirts to Tennessee football games, like opposing fans. We need some of those for Mike White.
Mm-hmm.
Just go show Danny's brother some love tonight. Just –
The Vols currently ranked fifth in the nation in adjusted defensive efficiency, allowing only 87.8 points per 100 possessions. So you're still doing the work you need to do on the defensive side of the ball, and you still rank among the top in Division I in turnover margin and steals per game and also assists per game. So you're in the top 20 in those three categories. So that fares very well. Yeah, I mean, Kenny Chandler – I want to see him come out and have a big game again, but it's been the Santiago Vescovi show as far as consistency goes. Chandler had a decent game last game, but Santiago Vescovi is kind of the guy that has been your scorer. He's been your go-to guy when you need buckets on this season. And like you say, added with Euros' development lately, the energy he'll bring, John Fulkerson coming off the bench, should be a fairly easy game against a depleted Florida team without their best scorer as well. So, We'll see how that
fares.
I'm
just glad it's a 6 o'clock tip tonight, not a late one.
You know, I don't like the late ones, but I don't necessarily like a 6 o'clock tip. I kind of like it right there, 7, 8. Don't really like the 9 o'clock games. Give me a 7 o'clock tip all day. 6 o'clock's a little too early for me to shift my focus there that soon.
I just want to get it over with.
Yeah. I'll be on ESPN2. You got Tom Hart and Jimmy Dykes on the call.
Oh, we get the ESPN treatment tonight.
I like that crew.
Yeah, I do.
To an extent.
I like Jimmy Dykes.
Yeah, man, you should. This game is perfect for you. You know, they aren't a very efficient offensive
team.
They're
going to be pretty tired. Third game in a five-day span.
Yeah, they're coming to you. They aren't a very efficient offensive team. They struggle to play you. They struggle to play you at home specifically. You know, they don't really have anyone that can score at all three levels. They don't necessarily play great defense. You know, they're down Colin Castleton. They might be down, you know, one of their other best guards.
Tyree Appleby?
No, was it Appleby? I thought it was McKissick.
Oh, maybe it is.
Either way, no, it's not McKissick. It's man. Now I'm lost, but they had a guy that missed Monday night's game with a non-COVID illness. But
well, the last time Tennessee played Florida, I don't know if you guys remember this. It was senior Eves Pons who tied the school
Did
record.
Did he have nine?
Nine blocks. I remember that very vividly.
Yeah, that was a crazy game.
He was a beast that game. Was definitely a beast. He set a single game record for Tennessee with the nine blocks, but also tied the SEC tournament record with Andre Riddick of Kentucky that he set back in 1993. So, should be a good game. Probably a little bit mucky. But
I think you have a chance to really run away with this game.
Yeah, but Florida coming off of their third game.
CJ Felder is who I'm thinking of. He's their best three-point shooter, and he missed the Mississippi game Monday with a non-COVID illness. But, yeah, like I was saying anyway, you match up really well with them.
Oh, yeah, no, you do.
They're going to press. They're not going to press effectively. They're going to play man-to-man. You know, you should be able to take advantage of that man-to-man defense. They will play exclusively man-to-man. They're not going to switch in the zone. You know, you're either going to beat them or they're going to beat you, but they're going to stay in that man-to-man defense. You know, really, Philandrius Fleming and Appleby, you know, both two guys that...
Philandrius Fleming?
Philandrius Fleming.
That's a hell of a name.
That just sounds like a Simpsons character.
Philandrius Fleming.
Philandrius Fleming Jr., actually. He's a good player. And then again, you know, Tyree Appleby, good players. But they shoot too high of a volume for how efficient they are of shooters. Really, I think the only place offensively that they have any kind of matchup advantage is Anthony DeRuji. Or Jay.
Some hell of a names.
Yeah, no, they good luck. Good luck, Jimmy Dykes tonight. Philandrius Fleming, and then Anthony DeRuji. He's gonna be their center tonight. Urosh will be tasked with defending him, presumably. And he is the guy that can pop out and hit that mid-range jumper, or even, you know, pop out in the corner and really slip out, you know, slip away from the defense in the corner, knock down a three from time to time. So, you know, he could get Urosh out of the paint and make him guard him that way. And maybe that could be an issue. But really, that's the only place that I think that Florida has to take advantage. Again, I really think you're going to win this game easily.
Yep. I agree with you. We'll give you our score predictions and more at the end of the show. On the other side, though, let's take a quick timeout. You can call us up 865-546-8200 if you got anything to talk about concerning Tennessee basketball. I got some Tennessee baseball news later on in the show. But on the other side, let's go ahead and jump into an opening drive. Talk about some of the headlines in the sports world today. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz and more Fan Run Radio. All right, opening drive right here on your hump day, Charlie. It's hump day, Charlie. Opening drive right here on your Wednesday inside the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Charlie thought he wasn't going to get a hump day today. Surprise, surprise. First down, we'll start with the shield. Well, it seems like the Minnesota Vikings, they're a couple steps closer to getting a new head football coach. They are hiring Cleveland Browns Vice President of Football Operations. Hope I don't mess this up. Kwezi Adofo Mensah as their new general manager, a source tells ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
You know, when I look at teams that are just top-notch in the NFL, I think the Browns. That's where I want to go steal their front office.
Yeah, no, their analytics and everything. Schefter reports that Adofo Mensah gets a four-year deal to replace Rick Spielman, who was fired at the conclusion of the 2021 season after a 16-year stint. 16 years, man. As the Vikings general manager that produced a 132-123-2 record, Mensah is the 10th person in franchise history to hold the GM title and carry the duties of the team's GM, current executive vice president of football operations, as a top football executive. He comes to Minnesota after, as I said, spending the 2021 season in Cleveland working under general manager Andrew Berry. Berry hired him from San Francisco in 2020. The Vikings, though, man, they're in their tough spot, right? Like, where they kind of got a decent team. Like, you can't just – I don't know if you can just be like, let's just start over fresh, because you got some guys that are still considered to be in their prime or kind of coming off their prime. You got Adam Thielen. You have a – when Dalvin Cook's healthy, he's pretty dangerous in the NFL. Then probably your quarterback position is your trickiest one, because – when Kirk Cousins is pretty good, he's pretty damn good. I mean, you could say he's one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league when he's on, but when he's bad, he's really, really bad. What do you guys think about the Vikings going forward? Charlotte, you have very good thoughts, analysis on all of these things.
The Vikings are just kind of stuck.
They're kind of stuck, right?
They are just a worse version of the Titans right now. I mean, they...
Probably never going to win more than 10 games.
But they have young pieces, they have old pieces, but they have holes on their roster, and they have a quarterback that they don't seem to trust.
And they're never going to be in line for good draft picks, because they're always going to be right there in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. They don't have, you know, great draft position. They don't necessarily have a ton of flexibility. But given the situation of the division, given the uncertainty.
If Aaron Rodgers leaves, then they look pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, given the uncertainty of Aaron Rodgers, you have to think that if next year it's, you know, the Bears aren't winning it.
Lions aren't winning it. They showed some fight.
The Lions will be pesky, but they're not winning it. And I don't really think the Jordan Love-led Packers are more than a 10-win at most team either. So I think the Vikings could still be the favorite to win the division next year, even with I guess the purgatory they're stuck in right now.
Yeah, it's just a tough spot. Like what you said, got some older veterans, got some younger guys, and then you're kind of waiting to see what Green Bay does, because that might really, if Aaron Rodgers stays there for another 5 years, then you might blow it up and try to go for a new quarterback. But if he leaves this year or retires, then you're in prime position to win that division and go to the playoffs. So, very tough spot for the Minnesota Vikings. We'll see how that works out. We'll see who they get as their new coach. Second down. Well, we talked about Antonio Brown a little bit earlier and the picture he tweeted out in the Baltimore Ravens jersey. But according to he and his attorney, Sean Burstyn, they intend to pursue legal action against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after saying he was too injured to continue playing against the New York Jets and releasing him. He went on Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. Did anybody see this? Some of the interviews. It's pretty good stuff there. So they're also looking into a possible civil lawsuit in the form of defamation for the Bucks, claiming Brown had a spontaneous mental health episode. His attorney said, all of our options are on the table. We're going to hold to account the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Bruce Arians, the general manager, to the extent anyone who's responsible for this spin, that Antonio isn't reliable to do a good job playing football because he doesn't have the mental fortitude to do it. They'll be held to account. They didn't say how much they're seeking, but Antonio Brown said a whole lot of money. A whole lot. Straight cash, homie. Do we think that Antonio Brown lands on another team next year? That's the question, fellas. GP?
No, I don't.
You wouldn't take a flyer on him?
I just don't know if there's after the way his most recent
outburst went.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anybody out there willing to. The one guy who stuck his neck out for him, Antonio Brown pretty much stabbed in the back, saying, oh, he never cared about me, which maybe he didn't, but he still stuck his neck out for you and got you a job when nobody else was willing to. And I don't even know if AB is really interested in playing football anymore. I don't see anybody willing to take that chance, unless maybe Mike Tomlin, but I don't feel like they even need him up there.
Charlie, what do you think? Does he land on the roster next season?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't add him to my roster. I don't think he should, but thing is, he's talented, you know? Talent, we've seen far too many times, outweighs character, outweighs behavior, outweighs morals. So I'm sure someone will give him a one-year prove-it deal, and he'll probably have some dramatics. He might play a game or two, but I don't really see him ever getting his career back on track. Well, even close to back on track.
All right, we'll stay on the Bucs right here. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Rob Gronkowski, he's trying to decide his fate too. He has told TMZ, if he were asked today, and this was yesterday, said he would say no to returning for a 2020 NFL season if forced to decide now. Quote, if they're like, Rob, you've got to decide right now, this second. If you're playing next year, I would say no. You've got to give it some time. You got to rest, see how everything goes, see how everything plays out, how I feel. I just want to heal completely. Gronkowski has played on a couple of one-year deals over the past two seasons. He told the Bucs he would need about 3 to 5 weeks to decompress and assess how he's feeling before making a decision. And said he wouldn't count out returning if Tom Brady does not. He has to do what he has to do for his family, himself and his family, in regards to Brady. But then for myself, I've got to do what I got to do. You know, what's best for myself, see where I'm at, how I'm feeling, all that type of stuff. What do you guys think about Gronk? Is it time to hang it up? Could you see him playing with anybody besides Brady?
I don't think hasn't he come out and said that he would only play with Brady?
I feel like he said that before, but now
there's no scenario where he plays with any other quarterback but Tom Brady, besides Tom Brady not being healthy during a season. That is really the only way I see Gronkowski ever receiving a pass from someone non-Tom Brady, and I bet he's probably just waiting to see if Tom Brady's playing or not next year.
No.
If Tom Brady plays next year,
he comes back.
I imagine he comes back and they do a little farewell bromance tour.
No. Run it back one last time. The last dance, a la Aaron Rodgers,
Devontae. The real Adams. Last dance.
Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, all of the above. All right. Third down. That was just a throw in the second down. But third down. This goes to the college hoops world. Well, you guys have probably heard about it by now, but the future of Louisville men's basketball coach Chris Mack seems to be all but done. Sources tell ESPN and other outlets the school is engaged in discussions to separate with the fourth-year head coach from Xavier. With Louisville hosting Duke on Saturday night, the potential looms that Mack will not be on the sideline and has coached his final game in Louisville. A joint meeting between the Board of Trustees and the University of Louisville Athletic Association was suddenly called for this afternoon to discuss proposed or pending litigation and personnel matters. Mack's future as Louisville's head coach and any potential separation proposal is expected to be discussed at this meeting, according to sources. His buyout is approximately $12 million, but a lower number could be negotiated as part of a separation agreement. This comes at a time when Louisville Athletics is being run by interim athletic director Josh Heard and is without a full-time school president after the recent departure of Neely Bindapudi to Penn State. They are 11-9 overall and 5-5 in the ACC after losing five of its past six games, including a big defeat at Virginia. And it was then where, after a Saturday home loss to Notre Dame, also over this past weekend, senior forward Malik Williams asked whether the players are still responding to the coaching staff. After a long pause, Williams said, quote, I don't have a comment for that.
Oh, no.
Seems like Chris Mack is out, man. What do you guys think about that after nine seasons?
He is out. Like,
They haven't said he's out for
they
sure. But
will,
he's,
they're
he's,
making the official announcement yeah, today. To, after but they have their meeting, it's already been reported he's fired. I thought it was a really good hire at the time. I really did, and I can't really make sense of why this did not work.
A great nine seasons at Xavier, came to Louisville in 2018. He led the Cardinals to the NCAA tournament in 2019 and a second place ACC finish in 2020 before the tournament was canceled due to the coronavirus pandemic. Last season, the Cardinals went 13-7 but missed the NCAA tournament. Yeah, man, it seems like they've had a notice of allegations to include three alleged violations by the men's basketball program. And then after they fired Gaudio, I think that was an assistant coach on the staff, he then attempted to extort Mack. In a recording, Gaudio told Mack he would expose violations if not paid the remainder of his salary. The NCAA then alleged that Mack either participated in, condoned, or negligently disregarded violations involving graduate assistants, Gaudio was a graduate assistant, and others' participation in practice, as well as the creation and use of personalized recruiting videos and aids. Also said that Mack did not demonstrate that he promoted an atmosphere for compliance. Chris Mack, we hardly knew ye. And the last one, fourth down.
Wait, back to the Chris Mack stuff.
Okay.
You missed the most important part.
Oh, what did I miss?
That old Brucey boy.
Oh, yes.
Is heavily engaged. So Dominique Yates.
Names to follow Chris Mack.
Dominique Yates, who is a sports reporter for WLKY in Louisville. You know, take it with a grain of salt. Obviously, the local guys, you know, sometimes they hear some things and run with it and prove to be wrong. Jimmy Himes. But, he said, quote, sources tell me if Chris Mack is gone, here are some of the names of interest. Kenny Payne, Bruce Pearl, Will Wade, and Nate Oates. He followed up saying with not saying that there's interest from Louisville, but I'm told that Pearl, quote, wants it badly. Payne also strong interest. So maybe there is a chance that this becomes a win for Tennessee, and we get a good coach out of the SEC.
Yes, strong names there. Like you said, Kenny Payne, Bruce Pearl, Will Wade, Nate Oates.
If Will Wade or Bruce Pearl ends up in Louisville after all these scandals that they've already had, the NCAA is going to need to build like a new compliance department in downtown Louisville just to be able to keep up.
That'd be a home run hire for Louisville. And I can't say that I wouldn't be surprised if they don't go after him pretty hard. But it would gotta be pretty tough for Bruce Pearl to want to get out of Auburn when he has them as the first time they've ever been the number one seed in the history of the AP Top 25. Seems a little, that'd be tough, right, Charlie? Or is Auburn just one of those jobs? I mean, people thought the same thing when Calipari left Memphis to Kentucky, where he had Memphis at the time. But Kentucky is just one of those jobs, a blue blood job. Is Louisville a better job than Auburn in the basketball sense? Or is it a lateral move for Bruce Pearl at this point?
I'm not really sure at this point.
Because Louisville, back in the past, I'd probably say it is a better job, basketball job than Auburn.
Yeah, and you know, you can have the people that say, there's only so much you can do with Auburn. And that is true. There's only so much you can do with Auburn, but he's doing it. They sell out games. You know, they have students that camp out.
For pizzas.
for multiple days for games. They have... top recruiting classes. They have lottery picks. They have a Final Four appearance. So in the sport of basketball, if you do have the coach, you know, they're very, I think you can pretty much achieve at any school. Yeah, I think it is kind of a miss. Sure, it could be easier at other schools, but he's proven it with Auburn. I don't think there's anything that it can be accomplished in college basketball that Bruce Pearl can't do at Auburn.
Absolutely, man. He'd be a great hire. If I was a Louisville fan, I'd want him. And if you're an Auburn fan, you're just sitting on the edge of your seat like, please, please don't. And for fourth down, and we'll take this into the other segment, but former Boston Red Sox slugger, that's right, Big Poppy, David Ortiz, is your lone inductee into the Baseball Hall of Fame this year as Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens miss again, and now they are done with their 10 years of eligibility according to the Baseball Writers of Association. So they will have to get in by committee standards from here on out, but they're their reign, their 10-year window is closed. We'll talk about that more on the other side, all the Hall of Fame stuff. But your opening drive today has been brought to you by our friends over at MyBookie. Even though the fantasy football season is over, you can keep the excitement alive with MyBookie's double deposit bonus. Having your initial deposit matched up to $1,000 is like playing every game with home field advantage. All you have to do is sign up using promo code Knoxville and get your funds credited to your account instantly so you can start placing your bets with MyBookie. With the NFL postseason in full swing and almost over, there's no shortage of games to choose from at MyBookie, and everyone knows that playoffs equal points. It's the best time of the year to hammer overs with every player out to make a name for themselves. You know, player props are a great way to find an edge. MyBookie is also home to exclusive contests that can be used to maximize your winnings and make 2022 your best year yet. Don't miss out. Double your first deposit up to $1,000 by using promo code Knoxville. Place your bets and get ready for the intensity of the rest of the playoffs. Bet anything, bet anytime, bet anywhere with MyBookie. Quick timeout, come back and talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Asked us, they doing too much. Haven't done my taxes, I'm too turned up. Virgil got a paddock on my wrist going nuts. Caught me slipping once, okay, so what? Someone hit your block up, I tell you if it was us. Man, a house in Rosewood, it too plush. Say my day's a number, but I keep waking up. No, you see my text, baby, please say something. Wine by the glass, man.
Welcome back to the Blitz. That was crazy. I had my headphones like caught underneath the chair in here.
I have no idea.
I don't know how it happened. They have a very long cord, but that still shouldn't have happened. Speaking of maybe what shouldn't have happened in some of your eyes, Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, still blackballed from the Baseball Hall of Fame, according to the Baseball Writers of America. But David Ortiz, Big Poppy, does get in. No gripe there from me.
He's a Hall of Famer, in my opinion, but I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, he's not on the same level as, like, a Derek Jeter or a Mariano Rivera or a Chipper Jones.
Oh, that's tough because he did a lot for Boston. Obviously, the World Series run.
No, he did, but he was a DH. That's the only thing that, like.
Yeah. That's true. There's a lot of gripe there. Some people, he's DH. But Big Poppy was your only player to clear the required 75% threshold, according to this year's voting by the Baseball Writers Association of America. He finished with 77.9%, becoming the 58th player elected in his first year of eligibility. At 46, he is also the youngest of the 75 living members of the Hall. And then, like I said, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are out. Bonds, the all-time home run leader, 354-game winner Roger Clemens, and 600-homer club member Sammy Sosa, and longtime ace pitcher for the Red Sox as well, and longtime for the Phillies, Curt Schilling, were in their 10th and final year of eligibility, and they were also barred from the Hall. Ortiz, though, the interesting thing about Ortiz is that he also was implicated or allegedly implicated in MPD suspicions as well. It was a 2009 story in the New York Times. They reported that Ortiz was among 104 players who tested positive for performance-enhancing substances during a round of tests conducted in 2003. But those tests were supposed to remain confidential, if you guys remember that.
Yeah.
And the tests were done to see if the league had reached a threshold to conduct, excuse me, I can't talk today, to conduct regular testing. Ortiz, who has long denied that he used banned substances, and in 2016, Commissioner Rob Manfred said the tests in question were inconclusive because, it quote, it was hard to distinguish between certain substances that were legal, available over the counter, and not banned under the program. Manfred also added that during subsequent testing after, Ortiz had never been a positive at any point under the program.
Yeah, I think that's the difference there, is that after 2003, he never tested positive again, and that's really when the hammer came down.
Yeah, Sosa's support never got the same as Bonds or Clemens. He never got got over 50%. Clemens and Bonds got to 66% for Bonds in 2017 and 65.2% for Clemens. So I guess the question I ask you guys, and we've got a comment from Clemens here too, is how do you feel about that, the steroid era? I think that you can put these guys in the Hall and you can have a whole separate Hall of the steroid era. Why? One, it was interesting as hell. Wow, what a time to be alive when all those home runs were being hit. It was a very fun time for baseball. Baseball needed it. They needed an injection of life, and it brought younger fans in and kind of, you know, drew younger fans to the game because of all the home runs that were being hit and the the way that they marketed superstars during these, you know, McGuire and Sosa. I mean, Griffey was in there earlier, but he got injured, and you know, but it was like those three guys at the height of their careers, and then obviously McGuire, Sosa, and then Clemens, and then Bonds comes along and shatters all the home runs, and you know, the 73 in a year. Then he goes on to break Hank Aaron's home run record. So for me, I think you put him in, and also I think that we could argue too, as we have talked about during the break. A lot of these guys, they're in no matter what. Even before, like, you knew that they did steroids, these guys were on a path that they were going to get in. Barry Bonds was a 40-40 guy. He's a damn good baseball player. And I can still – two things can be true. He cheated. He cheated the game. But he also one of the best baseball players I've ever seen in my life. I think that's also – that can be true. Same thing with Clemens, one of the best pitchers I've ever seen from the time, you know, the Red Sox and the time with the Yankees. The Rocket. I mean, Roger Clemens, the Rocket, man. And then same thing for Slammin' Sammy. Like, I watched a lot of Sammy Sosa growing up. So those guys were very good, and steroids definitely helped them power, helped them through injury, rehabilitation. But to me, they were damn good baseball players, and I think they still would have been damn good baseball players had they not dove into the dark world of steroids like they all got caught up in during that 8 to 10 year span.
I mean, especially Bonds.
Especially Bonds.
But at the same time, they did. I don't know. I keep going back and forth.
I don't really care that much about the damn steroids.
It's not like there's not actual evidence that Bonds did steroids. Right?
No.
That Clemens did steroids.
The guy that was with Bonds, he went to jail for Bonds and never spoke a word. They can never get him.
It can very easily be implied, and it is more than likely true, but. You know, there's no proof, just like there's no proof for David Ortiz. But if David Ortiz can get in
without the proof,
I think at that point, you know, that opens up the door for many others, like Alex Rodriguez down the road. And, you know, it was his first year of eligibility, like, you know, Barry Bonds, like Clemens, like plenty of these people. So I can't decide because it's just like, yeah, you did cheat. You cheated the game. You disrespected the game. You know, you could have done it without the steroids. Why'd you have to do the steroids in the first place? You know, if you cheated the game, you don't deserve to be in. But at the same time, it's just like you still have to be so good to make – you know, steroids don't make you good in baseball.
Exactly.
They make you, you know
– recover quicker.
Recover quickly.
Hit the ball a little bit further. But, like, you know,
maybe it adds 10 feet when he really
– But your hand-eye coordination still is something that's uncanny.
And Barry Bonds put in the work, and people want to talk about, oh, well, you know, David Ortiz, he's in the media. He got the fun nickname. He gave a great speech, and everyone loves him because he's Big Poppy. I said yesterday on Talk Sports, you know, at one point I was like, oh, you know, Barry Bonds is kind of a jerk. He wasn't a jerk. I was wrong. I actually read a really nice article about him yesterday. It kind of started to change my mind on him a little bit. Great guy.
But I agree with you there, too.
He was just a quiet star. Like,
think about it.
He would, more than any other player, would go to children's hospitals, would go do community outreach. He just wanted to keep it secret. He would try to remain anonymous. He would try to stay hidden when he was doing it. He never told a soul about it. And he did, you know, he did plenty of stuff like that. He just didn't want to be a very outspoken guy.
He's very quiet. Like you say, he didn't want to be an outspoken guy. He wanted to just play ball. And, yes, he wanted to be the best. And you could tell that. And maybe that's why he switched to steroids, the records, the lure of the records. But, like what we're all saying, he was a great baseball player, likely didn't need it. And I do think there's a big perception. Like, think about how we think about A-Rod. And maybe you guys don't think about that, but think about how the national perception is of Alex Rodriguez. Here's a guy that lied and then came back and told us that he lied. And everybody hated him for so long towards the end of his career with the Yankees and then when he retired. And then he did a full circle. He starts dating J-Lo. He starts to be a Fox baseball analyst. And he's like this, like, sweetheart for baseball now. Like, a lot of people's perception have changed over him. People thought he was a creep and thought he was just, you know, a cheat and a hack and a liar. And here it is, like, now he's like, he's kind of captivated the world with his personality. And that's the same thing for Big Poppy. Like, if you're talking about, if he was implicated and people thought he was doing steroids, but he was a jolly guy. He's Big Poppy, you know, a big guy, you know, like, and people like him. And I agree with Charlie. I think a lot of people just didn't like Bonds, still don't like Bonds. There's still a lot of people out there who don't like him, and it was because he was quiet. He didn't want to be out there and engaging with the media. He didn't have a lot to say to the media, even during his home run records and stuff. I mean, a couple words here and there, and being excited that he's breaking the records. You know, when he brought Willie Mays, his I think his godfather out there, things like that. Like, I remember that still. But as far as, like, he didn't want to be in the light like that. And then he came off because he was quiet and not very outspoken that he was an asshole. And I just think that's a lot of things to do with Barry Bonds. But their debate now for Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, Schilling, it moves to the Hall of Fame's Today's Game Era Committee. That's right, the Game Era Committee. They are comprised of players, executives, and media members who are charged with evaluating overlooked candidates. The Today's Game Committee is next scheduled to convene during the 2022 winter meetings in December. So that committee will hold the fate of those guys if they do eventually get into the Hall of Fame. GP3, quickly, your thoughts.
Well, I've never been a fan of Bonds, never been a fan of A-Rod. I'm still not a fan of A-Rod.
A-Rod's worse for me now.
Yeah, I don't like A-Rod. I think he's awful on Sunday Night Baseball.
Terrible.
I think it's just, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to baseball. I told Charlie yesterday, Hank Aaron's the true home run king to me. And maybe there's bias there because he played for the Braves, but I don't know. Like, my hero was Chipper Jones growing up. He was never included on any of these reports, and he played in the same era as these guys. I mean, it's not fair to the guys who played the game the right way. So if I had a vote, I probably wouldn't have voted for him. But he is probably the greatest player of all time, but he tarnished his legacy.
Tarnished his legacy for a few hundred home runs. It's kind of like when he got closer to 600. That's when really the Balco stuff started, and you started to see the transformation. I mean, it was obvious that he did something to his body. I will always go down, though. Same thing with Pete Rose, and I'm a Reds fan. I think those guys
Pete Rose should be in the Hall.
I think they should be in the Hall.
I don't think Bud Selig
should. Amen.
I think Bud Pete Selig should be hall. Removed from the Hall. Bud Selig was an awful commissioner. He doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Nope.
Put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Charlie Hustle deserves to be there. And I think a lot for these guys, too. Maybe you just put them in an area of the Hall of Fame where it's like this is the steroid era, and you give them – you put an asterisk, or I don't know, or maybe just put the guys in because there's so much doubt about who was taking steroids and who was not during this entire time.
Well, if you let him in, then you got to go back and basically.
I'm cool with it. Rafael Palmeiro, guys like that.
Go back, Mark McGuire. You would have to go back, put him in.
Think he deserves it too. I am not as big on the steroid era as a lot of other people because it was a fun time in baseball. One, as I stated earlier. Two, I just think they're so. Like, who really was using them? There's probably a lot of guys who were and just were able to go underneath the radar and didn't get caught. And there's a lot of guys who didn't and then got implicated with such and just were good ball players who developed and worked hard. But for the most part, I just think that I think you got to put them in. 865-546-8200. Quick timeout. Come back and wrap up the show. Last call on the other side. Welcome back to the Blitz, wrapping up the show today on your hump day. Don't forget, this Saturday night out at Walk On Sports Bistro, the crew will be there for another watch party. Tennessee takes on Texas, 8 o'clock tip-off. Be there or be square. Got John Reed and the boys coming up next. We don't have a lot of time here. If anybody has a quick, if you haven't heard, go ahead and jump in.
Hey, score predictions.
Oh, yeah, score predictions. All right, Tennessee, Florida. I'm going to say Tennessee 69, Florida.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Florida 59.
69, 59?
Yep, Florida 59.
So you got a push on the 10, win on the 9.5.
Mm-hmm. Charlie?
73-54, Vols.
73-54, Vols. GP3.
Just because you said it earlier, I'm going to say the Vols finally get over 80 against Florida. I'm going to go 83-67.
All right.
On the way. No, 83-62.
83-62. Ooh, nice. I like that. 21-point victory. Let's run it. Today is National Green Juice Day. You guys ever did a green juice cleanse?
I did one. It was like a cabbage.
It definitely cleanse. Works.
Yeah. What are they?
Just like
cleans out your innards.
Yeah, cleans out your detox. National Spouses Day. It's National Peanut Brittle Day. And it's also Library
Appreciation
Shelfie Day. Oh. Not selfie, the library shelfie day. Well, that was pretty funny. I think it's really funny. All right, that'll do it for us. Boom, Charlie didn't think it was that damn funny.
Just yesterday, get out of here,
yesterday
man.
Was a state day. Did y'all get that?
Yeah. I knew the days of the day.
All right, good job, Charlie. You got to talk sports up next with John Reed and the boys, noon until 3. Keep it locked for the drive later on this afternoon, 3 until 6. And then cap it off with Will Stevens and Tucker Holt, 6 until 8. A little overtime. But that'll do it for us, for Charlie, for GP3. We'll do it all again tomorrow right here on the Blitz. Keep it locked for more Fan Run Radio.